Society 13 Podcast Network. Redefining podcasts. Society-13.com.
I like to listen.
Welcome to Channel 9 of the STRY Radio Network, where stories live.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
Once upon a time, there was a snail, and he rode through the woods on his slimy tail. He left a streak of slime, and that was all, but he thought it was sublime. Welcome to the Ninth Story Podcast.
Because he's the streak. Right? That's a song, right?
Right. I don't know. But welcome to the Ninth Story Podcast. This is episode 517. I am Jeanette Andromeda.
I'm Immortal Alexander.
And that rubbish you just heard is exactly why you're here. We are talking about rough ideas and how to work on them.
Yep. So yeah, this week's topic is rough ideas. Raw ideas, really.
Raw ideas. Uncooked, unfiltered. Just slap it on the plate there and hope it works.
So the concept is that we as writers get stuck on something we're trying to create. We have a single project in front of us, and then when it's not working out, we abandon it, and then we come back months or weeks later, and we're like, look at it with contempt, and we never really get to finish it because we're just stuck. And The idea here is, how do we get unstuck? So it's going to be a little bit different format-wise. We're going to just kind of read a few things. We're not really performing a full story today.
No full stories.
Well, I have lots of stories.
Well, you do. Yeah. I don't have a lot of full stories. I actually, while preparing for this episode, realized a lot of the documents where I had written my stuff was part of what got wiped out in...
the tsunami that was...
that was my laptop transfer.
Oh.
I think I figured out where those went, and they are... now only memorialized in this one notebook of half-baked ideas and what's left in my head. So it's I need to write them down.
You know, sometimes it's actually better that way. I've had stories that I forgot where the heck I put them. But if it's a good enough story, it will stick with you. And you will know at least the bare bones skeleton of it. And maybe the second draft that you're now writing anew will actually be way better than the first draft.
Although I will say, I think I'm going to do what Nelson Piles does and set up an email account just to email drafts of my story to. He does this. Every time he finishes a draft or doesn't even finish, he'll just email it to himself to a different email address so that he has an archive of every single draft. And that is so smart. That is in one of our previous episodes. I don't remember which one.
I just use Google Drive for that.
Well, but you never know.
And I can organize it that way.
Things. I think I need to come up with a better way to organize my stuff because I am a mess. Although the notebook has actually been very safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I found it. So that means it's still here.
Yeah. So this is just more of a kind of showcasing the rubbish that is our daily ideas and things that we've used in the past. Jeanette's going to try to get more into writing more often, and I do write much more regularly. Like, I write as often as she draws, pretty much. So we kind of balance each other out in that regard, and we're trying to both be better at getting good habits when it comes to writing.
Because for me, I've gotten into a very good rhythm of working on my artwork, and I need to start to bring that kind of commitment to my storytelling, because I do want to be a better storyteller in my artwork as well. And I've noticed lately I've gotten kind of lazy about that. Okay, really lazy about that. So writing better stories will work into better stories visually as well. So
we're going to trying to break this down into three different clumps today. So first off, we're going to be talking about what is a raw idea and where do they come from? And then basically going into how to stay motivated through like just daily routines mm-hmm. in order to take this concept and basically, you know, turn it into something that is going to generate results.
Now, I will say, and I'm sure you listening to this would be saying the same thing, like, coming up with ideas is not the problem. But sometimes it is, and sometimes you have to come up with something just a little bit off of what you've been working on so that you can refresh your energy. You know, it's part of staying motivated is coming up with some new raw meat ideas to just throw in the idea jar.
So, yeah, well, it's kind of like anybody who's, let's say, an inventor, like an Edison or an Einstein, and how they literally would spend hours every single day just writing down ideas. Mm-hmm. What is it that's out there that's needed, or what science is out there that we can explore and try to develop further into something tangible? You know, they're trying to create tangible products or tangible services through those inventions. And that takes a lot of just racking your brain about what is necessary, what is needed, and how do we tackle that? And how do you take what's already known and explore deeper into that, into the unknown, and create something interesting, something, you know, engaging. So raw ideas are just basically, as they get spit out of your brain, you know, as they are without any unfiltered and not thinking about them, is basically the concept is spending a little bit of time every single day
brainstorming,
just writing down something, coming up with
yeah.
random concept A, and then writing a base skeleton of what random concept A is, and then leaving it alone, and then spending at least an hour a day writing something.
Mm-hmm.
Something. You can write 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 raw ideas every single day, and then start categorizing them and putting them into folders specifically about, you know, raw ideas mm-hmm. about dreams, raw ideas about fantasy, horror, romance, whatever they happen to be, kids stories, whatever. And you just start to categorize those and put them in folders where you just sit there and you just write random garbage and let it be garbage. If it's great, it's great. It might just be the seed of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of this particular process is that you actually may, by writing other things and just keep writing every day and really working that part of your brain of creativity, you might actually come up with a solution for whatever major project that you're working on organically by just getting out of that rut of not writing. You know, if you're writing every day, you may not be entirely improving, but you're actually keeping yourself sharp. And whatever skills that you have and you've been acquiring and learning, you're keeping those sharp. Like Jeanette watches Drawing with Jazza on YouTube.
Right. And although his conversation, he has a couple videos that we'll link to in our description, which
is you should tell people what Drawing with Jazza is.
Drawing with Jazza is, I think I've mentioned it a couple times, but it is one of my favorite YouTube channels because Jazza is so smart and fun with how he's built his business, and I want to make something exactly like his, which is he started off just teaching people how to do art and how to stay motivated as artists, and then he kind of like morphed into reminding people how to have fun with it, and it's just like it's become this very entertaining yet motivating channel. And he has this one video that is about the different types of practice. Yeah, actually two videos. One was older and then he kind of revisited it later. But he talks about three different styles of practice. And the first is innate practice. And then he says inspired practice and developmental practice. And I think even though he was talking about it with art, to talk about it in any craft, in storytelling, in writing, is also incredibly valuable because, like, innate practice is the act of writing anything. Like, if you're writing emails, if you're writing up articles for a blog, if you're writing anything, you are innately practicing your writing skills. The more you do that, the better incrementally you'll get. And then there's inspired practice, which is what we all love, which is, I have this brilliant idea. I need to lock myself away in the room and go do this thing. Alex does this all the time. He'll come home from somewhere and just be like, yep, don't talk to me. I need to go. And then he just like locks himself in the bedroom and is writing for a couple hours. And
yeah, what I'll typically do is I'll have my phone next to me and I'll push on like record a message or like a note, a voice recording, and I'll just say it out loud quickly and then just stop recording it. Green light, go home, keep repeating it on my way. And then once I get inside, I have it rattling my brain and I'm like, okay, I need to be clear everything away, get the cats out of the bedroom, close the door, leave me alone. I'm going to take my iPad in there and I'm going to just write furiously until I have the seed of this idea completely out there with all the little deep, you know, juicy details that are just seeping in my brain.
And that's often how I will write. I will get this like big burst of an idea and I have to go write it down. And that's when I do most of my writing. Like actually after playing D&D, I always end up with one of these sessions where I'm just like, oh, I have this idea. I have this great character that I've designed and now I need to write her backstory. And then I'm just gone for a couple hours. And I'm like, I wrote this backstory where she's an ex-slave and then is a superhero, blah, 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 basically Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was fantastic, by the way.
It was fantastic, but I don't want to get too off track, although I already have. But that inspired writing and inspired creation is something that we all understand, I think. And then the last one that he mentions, Jazza mentions in his video, is developmental writing. And that is, or rather, he says developmental practice. And that's where you take something specific that you want to learn, that you want to work on, and you work on that specifically. And sometimes it can be an inspired developmental practice where you're like, I have to work on writing female characters, you know, or writing in the voice of a child. I want to see, you know, change my point of view more often. But you have to make that decision. And often the developmental stuff, you're not excited about it. It's the grind. It's when you're playing a video game and you just have to level up. And it's important to do. And it's during that, like, dedicated, focused time that you're actually going to get the most out of it.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, Jazza is an illustrator. And
he's amazing.
You know, just like when we had Brian Koldrick on a few weeks ago on episode 510, who is an illustrator and works on the show Doctor Who. And he does, you know, illustrations for character design, creature design, prop design, whatever. And he's really fantastic at it. But a lot of these same practices and skill sets, you know, ways he actually improves himself and you know, work ethic and all that kind of stuff applies directly to literally any creative field. And so writing, you know, you can learn about being a better writer from things that are not necessarily about writing. So Jeanette listens to a lot of different podcasts, business podcasts, creative podcasts, audio dramas, and you're always taking things in and you're always learning, and you can be learning a specific skill, like a business skill, especially these business podcasts, of how to be better at taking your creativity and turning it into a career.
Yeah, because I don't know about you guys, but although I love to make art, I would extra love to make a full-time living just from my art. I'm doing actually pretty okay with that right now, I have to say. But I want to get even better at it and maybe stress less about it. okay. And I know Alex wants to do that with his writing.
Exactly. I definitely do. So let's just share some of our raw ideas. We're not going to share a ton of them, but we're going to share some and maybe a couple more in the back end because Jeanette's got quite a bit in her dream journal here.
I do have a lot. Can I start it? Because,
yeah, most definitely.
Because these are so raw. But they're raw to the point of they've decayed and then now they're back to raw again because these are from my notebooks from high school. Oh, yeah. Actually, even further back, this one notebook, I think I'll put a picture of this up online. Yeah. But this is this. It's like I'll describe it for you. One of my friends gave me an old like journal of hers. She had ripped out all the extra pages. It's spiral bound, but it's just beautiful. And it has this celestial moon thing with gold leafing on one side and then a sun pattern on the other. And this one actually was given to me in elementary school, and I started using it as a dream journal in elementary school.
Wow.
But the dreams that are kind of captured in here, I don't know exactly when they're from.
And I actually think that this is a really good thing to have, even as an adult, to have a dream journal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you have any kind of dream you have, to just make a practice of writing that down. Because that's something we're going to be, you know, getting into the topic, which is where do your inspirations come from? Mm-hmm. So what do you, will you want to actually start off with, where you get your inspirations from for a lot of your creativity?
Exhaustion. Believe it or not, it really does come from a lot of dreams, and I have this very bad habit throughout my entire life of never getting enough sleep. I just want to be awake and making things, and then that means that you're not sleeping, and then you get hyperactive, and then all of these things just pop into your head, like random misfiring synapses. And out of those bizarre misfirings of my brain, really interesting things pop up, and then that's why that's where a lot of my inspiration comes from, is lack of sleep or while I'm actually sleeping for once.
And you actually,
and books.
I mean, the thing
Lots
is that the Jeanette actually remembers her dreams extraordinarily vividly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't rarely remember all the details of my dreams. I'll remember a bit of it, and then it's just gone. It just kind of fades out into the distance almost immediately, unless Jeanette remembers it after I've described it. Mm-hmm. But she's just much more, she retains much of more of that information before she wakes up and is able to write all that down, which is, it's not a skill that everybody has. There's definitely different ways to kind of tap into your subconscious, and we'll get into a little bit of that. I think we had talked about it before, but I'll talk a little bit more mm-hmm. about it here as well. But I want you to talk, share some of your raw ideas from okay. your journal here.
So, where should I start?
Anywhere.
I'm going to start with this one on the first page. And this is what began my dream journaling. A guide helping a messenger, who's actually royalty, through the mountain pass. But they are captured by trolls during a huge snowstorm. They befriend a captive goblin and try to make their way through the twisted labyrinth of tunnels underneath. They eventually end up at the Troll King's castle. And discover that the king is in love with the princess. Amber, that's apparently her name, and her guide don't get along at all. The trolls used to be a complex and advanced race until the war with the elves began. I spelled it elves. L-E-F-S. Yep. Elves began. The race of the trolls is near the end of their existence. and then I have this adorable drawing of... whom I assume is the main character with her goblin hottie, because I tried
I'm gonna,
to draw.
I'm
going to
put some images. We usually don't put images on the blog end of things on the Ninth Story podcast, the ninthstory.com, but I'm going to grab some images of this and I'm going to throw that up on the show notes.
Because God, I wish I had a date in here.
And
I
on
do,
Twitter,
2002.
We're gonna Twitter some of these as well.
Yeah, this is from 2002.
And then we'll schedule tweets with images from Jeanette's Journal of Magic. Because, like, but, you know what? Even though some of this stuff might sound childish
and
completely...
But at the same time...
Incomplete, it really is what the beginning of any story is. Mm-hmm. Is you're not even making almost complete sentences. It's just ideas, rough outlines, a skeleton of what you want the meat of your story to kind of be wrapped around. And so, literally, no matter how basic your beginnings are of your raw ideas, those things are the seed with which everything kind of grows from.
Absolutely. There was this one other dream that I don't think I have written down here, but I have it written down somewhere, and I've always remembered it. It was definitely after watching Anastasia, the animated movie, which I love and am obsessed with that movie. Mm-hmm. See, inspiration from film. There's one. But I had this dream where my sister was kidnapped and I had to go rescue her from this giant, like, empty, crumbling cathedral of a castle kind of place, but very Russian influenced. And I'm running through these dark hallways, like, from shadow to shadow, knowing that I am stalking the thing that is stalking my sister. And I get into this gigantic room with these arches and all of these shadows, and all I see is just this big empty ballroom. I'm like, where did it go? It has to be here somewhere. And then I turn around and it's right behind me, and I'm running out the window, and it's throwing globs of its putrid body at me, and it's like hitting the wall with big splats and whatever. And then I jump out the window, and then I know as I'm jumping out the window that those big globs were actually C4, and the whole place explodes behind me, and I land on the ground in the water below, where my sister's waiting in a boat, and she's like, what took you so long? And I'm like, I don't know, I was trying to save you. And she's like, okay, let's go.
This would make a fantastic video game, I'm just saying.
Yeah, the plot makes about that much sense.
Reminds me of like when I'm playing Uncharted or something. It's, yeah.
So I have a lot of these bizarre dreams that I would love to turn into bigger stories. And a lot of the novel things I've been working on are based off of a dream I had once. And it's like, I just want to flesh out the rest of that world. And some of these I live almost an entire lifetime inside of one dream over sometimes a series of nights, actually. I can return to them sometimes. And then when I wake up, I keep writing it. And then I go back into that world as I'm dreaming. So I kind of miss having that, actually.
And we all, you know, start writing a story and it goes nowhere and we just kind of put it aside. But mm-hmm. this is really more of a daily practice that you're spending at least like an hour or more a day just writing ideas down, just getting yourself warmed up. It's almost like a musician warming up before their performance. So if you do this for like a half an hour a day before you actually sit down and start your main writing, you're kind of warming up your brain so that when you actually get started on your main piece, once you get back into it, if you have lapsed, or just to keep yourself motivated to write every day and keep your brain going in different directions so that you're not thinking linearly, this is a great practice. We're just sitting there and writing raw ideas for about a half an hour to an hour, either before you begin or just as a daily practice to get yourself back into the groove of writing before you jump into a new project or jump back into an older project.
Because mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things I struggle with in my writing, especially actually in everything, is continuing to work on something after that initial inspiration burst. Like even my artwork, I will jump into, get it done to a point where I'm like, that's pretty cool. And if I were to continue working on it, it would actually be good, you know, not just like, that's pretty cool. And with my writing, it's the same way. I get the story out on paper and then I just shove it aside and away it goes. Sorry, Dan, I am still working on that story for the lift. In theory, but I need this like scheduled practice to go into my life, to go into my schedule so I can actually finish something.
Yeah. And that's really absolutely important. So where do you, your inspiration comes from your dreams
and
from
reading,
from
a lot from reading
movies, mm-hmm. television, things that you've ingested and how those things come to life. For me, my inspiration comes from a number of things. For the longest time, I would actually turn off my brain. When my best ideas would come out, I would actually turn off my brain and tap into my subconscious and just allow it to flow wherever it is. I would just get like a germ of an idea, like werewolf or location or, just like think about, like find myself in a space, wherever that space might be. It could be in an old house in the middle of the woods or in the cityscape or and find a person that I'm latching myself onto. I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm going to be this person. And I do tend to write in first person quite a bit. And I kind of enjoy crawling into somebody else's skin metaphorically through storytelling.
I'm glad you added metaphorically.
Well, metaphorically, yeah. I'm not like Hannibal or something like that or Buffalo Bill. No. So what I would do is I would do this on my own as a kid, and I would basically just love to live in my land of make-believe in my brain. Mm-hmm. I would just daydream, nightdream, in-between dream, every kind of dream. So I would tap into that because I really felt so much more joy. Exactly. My cat just meowed. Find so much more joy in my imagination, because I really was in complete control and I can do literally anything. There was no bounds. I didn't have to worry about bullies or tests or, you know, getting in trouble at home or whatever. I would just focus on my imagination. So I found that when I had like my lamp on, I had a little lamp net by my bed and I had it on. It really wasn't a really bright lamp. It was kind of like a 20 watt bulb. It was a really low tungsten-y bulb.
Would you say it wasn't the brightest bulb in the box?
Not the brightest bulb in the box. And so it just wasn't a very bright bulb, but the lamp itself was really cool. It looked like an old Chinese urn or something. It was like burgundy, and it's just a cool-looking lamp. And I would sit there, and I would be kind of tired, and I would allow myself to go like half asleep, where I'm kind of like still kind of awake, and I would start to, you know, kind of plant seeds of what I wanted to dream. I would just think about what I wanted to do, and I would just literally be able to form it like clay and then get that dream exactly where I want it, and then I would still be like half asleep and just playing around in my own subconscious. And you can, anybody can really do that. There's a lot of writers that do that. Writers from the Nightmare on Elm Street films had done that when they would, you know, get stuck in ideas. They would take little power naps. And I mentioned this in previous episodes, but they would take these little power naps and thinking about that part of the script. And then they would wake up with the solution, because, you know, when you're dreaming, you know, your brain kind of goes in different directions, and it's kind of, you know, something where you're not thinking. I think the best writing comes when you're not thinking and you just let it come out. It's more creative. I mean, I think people that have more of a developed skill set can, you know, take A, B, and C, you know, topic, character, you know, elements, and then, you know, put it into a pot, stir it around, and come up with a story based on that. And I, you know, with practice, I'm doing it myself. I'm actually getting people, you know, telling me, hey, try this, and I'll take it as a challenge. And I'll, you know, when I did Chris Massacre for The Wicked Library, I had a certain word count I had to stick to and a specific topic, which was Christmas time, and write a story and go. And that was my first time having an assignment where, you know, I had to stick to a specific word count and then, you know, here's a specific structure and then go. I definitely would love to eventually take on doing a story for The Lift if Dan would be interested, and that'd be kind of cool. But I would have to stick to their rules of their world. And that's going to be an interesting challenge too. Even if he doesn't accept it, I'm still going to do it as an exercise for myself, irregardless if it is, you know, a story that would fit within their mythos or not, just for my own personal benefit, mm-hmm. you know?
And in case you're new here, The Wicked Library and The Lift are both amazing audio drama podcasts that you should go listen to. That's my announcer voice. You're welcome.
So I'm going to share some of my raw ideas now. And I wrote these down as part of a course I was taking, which was the... What is it called?
James Patterson,
yeah.
Masterclass.
And I have these particular raw ideas I wrote in within the context of a course I was taking, which was the Masterclass.com writing course with James Patterson. And that's Masterclass.com. We're not affiliated, but I really do enjoy their site, and they have some really good stuff up there. And so I did this with this particular exercise, and I've been, you know, keeping more and more practice with this exercise. I do need to be better at it, but I think it's definitely something that I'm going to be implementing even more and more and more as I go along. But I do write every day. So here are my raw ideas. So raw idea number one is Sarah discovers an old photo in her grandfather's attic that leads her and three of her best friends on a horrifying and harrowing journey to a place frozen in time, a place where the damned reenact their past atrocities over and over again each day. This is a place of death and betrayal where two young lovers were murdered by friends and family alike in an 1863 colonial village. Now Sarah and her friends find themselves trapped in this horrible place, and the damned now have some fresh meat to play with. Will they escape? Can they solve the mystery of the two murdered lovers before it's too late? And they become trapped here forever. That's idea number one, which was a
there
raw.
You go.
Thank you. It was a raw idea that I was originally writing. That's now my novel, which is completely different. It has like some base elements from that, but it's entirely different, which I did share a preview of that a little while ago. I'm not sure what episode that was.
I don't know. We'll have to look at that.
This is just me writing things. And so don't judge me. The second one is, my turtle is dead. Her name was Gamora. She loved me, and now she is dead. It's hard to see how something so small can make such a big impact on a person. But here I was, frozen in place, staring at her still little body in a cardboard shoebox. I've always made excuses on why I never did anything, why I let the love of my life walk out the door without a word of protest, why I still work at the same soul-sucking job 15 years later, why I'm such a coward. My excuses are all gone, fading away like the life of my little friend. I need to live life as Gamora would have. With a smile on my face and a piece of lettuce between my teeth, I'm going across this country to look for the girl that broke my heart. I've got an old photograph in my back pocket, and that's all I need. I should probably bury Gamora first. Near that bed of flowers she loved to munch on. I think she'd like that. So I took a little piece of me mm-hmm. and a little piece of fiction, and I smashed them together into an idea. I actually kind of like that one.
I like that one, too.
I could write a whole story on that.
I think you should.
Yeah. Raw idea number three. A restless young boy finds adventure and terror while exploring the woods near his parents' rustic country home. Nathan must follow the rabbits. He is compelled to see where they lead him as he travels further and further into the dark woods. When Nathan reaches a meadow, a beam of light transports him into a strange place that seems oddly celestial, a secret place where he is not supposed to be. What danger lurks in this strange place, and what is the large presence he feels watching him now and always? And I wrote that into a story.
He did. It's a two-part story over on horrormaid.com. And again, you'll find those links in our show notes.
It's called Lost.
In case you need to search.
So there's Lost Part 1 and Lost Part 2.
And the show notes, since we never actually say this, you can actually find it on podcast.ninthstory.com. Just so you know.
/517.
There you go.
For this particular episode.
Yes, for this particular
episode. If you just go to podcast.ninthstory.com, you will find all the episodes, and you click on any one of them to get full show notes. But for this particular episode, it's /517.
Okay, so I have a few other raw ideas from my dream journal I would love to share with you. So this one means a lot to me, but let me read you what's actually on the page. Battle between the dogs and cats. The rise and fall of the mouse/cat/dog empire. Dream with the mousy girl. Like, that means nothing to no one except for me, because what I still see in my head when I read that paragraph is there is this epic battle scene at the end of the story, because I don't know where it started, but it is like cat people and dog people just like ripping into each other, having this really just like, think Lord of the Rings kind of battle, but in a back alley of desiccated buildings, and like the apocalypse has happened, and they're tearing into each other, and somehow this little mousy girl just like shows up and manages to bring calm to the whole situation, and like she just somehow stops what's going on. And that little like sad paragraph still brings to mind exactly that little vignette of a scene that I had dreamed. And another one that I had written down in here, which was a really like multi-night dream, was it's set under the ocean in Atlantis, and there are these scientist mermaids who want to raise Atlantis just to like murder everybody, and there's one girl who is trying to stop it, and I, of course, am that mermaid in the dream. But I wrote down that entire dream and would still love to finish fleshing that out.
Merman, father. Merman.
Merman.
So how do we stay inspired? How do we stay motivated to keep writing every day? How do we keep our brains filled with inspiration?
You go out and you experience things, would be my guess.
That is part of it, definitely. Most definitely. So When I used to go to, when Jeanette was going to UConn, I used to go to those shows all of the time. Every show they'd have, where they have an opera, a puppetry show, a theater play, a musical, you know, whatever it was going on, I would go and attend, and I would get extraordinarily inspired. Or when we used to go see rock shows, which we mm-hmm. should go do again, because those are awesome. Go to, you know, see live music, small bands in a dirty, smelly club. Go explore the world, go for a little trip or a walk or a day trip, take a journal with you and write what you see and just what you're feeling, and allow yourself to kind of go blank and just take in the world around you. and experience as much as you possibly can. So definitely going to shows, going to plays, making friends with these people on Twitter and social media, and then talking about reading their stuff, experiencing them, commenting on their stuff, and then sharing your stuff as well, because you really need a community of people to kind of just throw even the crappiest little tiny ball of writing you have that you hate, just throw it out there and let people look at it and see what they think and have fun. Because what we're here to do is, on this show especially, is to tell you guys that we're imperfect and we are still learning, and you can learn with us. And if you're a professional writer, everybody gets stuck. Everybody gets frustrated at some point or another. And like, you know, I just want to stop. I can't do it anymore. But this is about allowing yourself to write just whatever. Don't think about it. Turn your brain off. Turn the, you know, if you're really big on punctuation and grammar, turn all that off and just write something on a page and then look at it later and spell correct it when you're done. If you're constantly spell correcting and fixing all your grammar and punctuation in the middle of your writing, you are losing so much of that flow of your writing. You just need to let it explode onto the page, get to the end of it, and when you're exhausted and nothing else is coming out, then read it. And then walk away for like a week. And then come back, read it again. And sometimes you even want to share it. Like I do performance sometimes. I go do slam poetry and I'll perform in an open mic or whatever, and I'll share something, and I think it's hot garbage, but I'll just put it out there. And all of a sudden, people are like, wow, that was great. And sometimes things sound better spoken than they do in your brain when you're reading it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just try different formats. Try singing it. See what the heck happens. You never know. Like, try it from your same story from a different character's perspective, which we've spoken about before.
Yes, we have.
Try something else. Take the same idea and try it from different angles, from different points of view, and see what happens to it. And if it's hot garbage, throw it away. Try something else.
It's true. And in part of what we wanted to talk about today was like trying to find a way to be regular about writing.
Yes.
And
eat your brand flakes.
And finding a way to fit that into your schedule. And I think for me, I need to get back to just keeping that kind of dream journal. When I first wake up, the first thing I do, just write a paragraph, even just something, or, you know, just something. Because often I think that when I've been trying to write is in the evening after I've done everything. The problem is, after I've done everything, it's like 3 a.m. and I have to get up for work in the morning,
yeah.
You know, in a few hours. So I don't have time to write. And I think with my morning cup of coffee is going to probably be the best way to do it.
I should take that writer's block thing that your sister gave me and put it by the bed, because I need to be able to write my dreams fresh as soon mm-hmm. as they come out of my brain. Because I do hate my handwriting, but I just it's faster than picking up a piece of technology and trying to unlock it. Uh-huh. It's like this sloppy thing. You just open it up, stab it with the pen, and start scribbling something on there. And it's literally it's a journal. I don't think it's ruled. Does it have any line work on it?
It does. What it is, it's labeled writer's block.
Yeah.
It looks like a chunk of wood,
yep.
But it's a notebook. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yes. And so it's like a block of wood that's actually not a block of wood. It's the book.
Get
it's
it?
Journal.
Writer's block. It's a pun and it's useful.
Yes.
And unlike most puns.
You can throw it at things or people that are being silly. And, you know, so... So, like, it's just something quick to grab and just write things down, because I don't write my dreams down as much as Jeanette does. And I think we should be swapping habits, like mm-hmm. the good habits. Take the good habits that we both have and swapping it with each other. And then you guys can take some of that as well, or share some of your habits on Twitter. What do you do every day to keep writing and going forward? Like, what are your daily writing habits? Share that on Twitter. Share it on our Facebook group. You know, all that kind of stuff.
I definitely am very interested to hear what some of you guys have done to build that into your life. Like, I know life is busy. It is entirely busy. And we don't even have kids yet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some of you people have families and full-time jobs. And, like,
Bebes.
And you're actually making time to write and tell yeah. these stories that are just need to be told, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah, we're very, very impressed with people that have much more on their plate than us.
Yeah,
and are
we have cats?
Yeah,
like,
we have cats.
Whatever.
You have a lot of things. You have so many pies. It's ridiculous. Not like actual cherry or something, but like so many things that you're doing. It's
there are a lot of
ridiculous
pots on my proverbial,
and they're all
stove
burning
top
over and bubbling and making
they
a mess.
Are.
So yeah. You know, you just need to find inspiration in others and get inspired by someone's amazing creativity and be like, I'm going to go home right now and write. I'm going to go sit in my car in the parking lot after the show, pull up my phone, pull out Evernote, and just start typing away and coming up with ideas. I love reading a book or a graphic novel and then getting inspired and just putting it down and then immediately writing something. Whatever it is, it could just be an emotion. You're agitated. You're having a great day. You went to a birthday party. You know, something good or bad's going on with you, and you're just basically taking that feeling that's been welling up inside of you that music brought out of you, because music is so good at just pulling on all of the emotions in your body, all of the highs and lows of yourself, and taking those things, that moment, and capturing it in a bottle, capturing it on page, and taking those little slices of life, like people watching. You know, that's a great way to get inspired. Go to a park.
You know what I have in my Evernote?
Yeah.
I have just a list of moments and people that I think need to be in stories.
Yes.
Like if I see something stupid happening in real life around me, I'm like, that should go in a story.
Like when I was hanging out with my buddy Dynamo Mars from Trick or Treat Radio, and we went to Burger King specifically to get the Fruit Loop Shake, which is freaking amazing. This is not a sponsor. It's just delicious. And we got there, and we got our Burger King, and we were going to get the shake before we go to record his podcast. And they turned off the shake machines, and it was like 7:54. And they're like, oh, yeah, 8 o'clock, we turned it off. And it's like, they're open till freaking midnight. And they turned it off. And we couldn't have our freaking Fruit Loop shakes. That's going to go in a story, I'm telling you.
Where everyone ends up murdered. Except for Toucan Sam.
Exactly. I'm not even going to describe how my friend articulated what it's like to have a Fruit Loop shake, because it's very graphic, but it's hilarious. And you should listen to Trick or Treat Radio. They're really fun. Really graphic and raw, but fun.
If you like horror movies and like hearing ridiculous / fun / sometimes actually well thought out reviews of said horror movies.
Yeah.
Definitely go check out Trick or Treat
and
Radio.
And no, we other than that, in that podcast, we reviewed the film Prevenge, which is fantastic. It's about a pregnant lady that basically the baby is commanding her to murder people. The unborn child in her belly is telling her to go and kill and do knife stabby stabs on people. And it's dark British humor, and it was a lot of fun. So it was a lot of fun. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for Trick or Treat Radio, trickortreatradio.com, those guys, for letting me be on your podcast. And I had a lot of fun.
I watched it live. It was very fun. But I was home working.
And I'm going to put that in the show notes so you guys can have a link to that episode.
Yeah.
And check that out. If you don't mind naughty language, which hopefully you don't because you're here, if you're not easily offended because those guys are, it's like listening to Eddie Murphy raw on loop, because they're just busting each other's selves, men's parts. And,
oh, come on. We can say balls here.
Busting each other's balls and having fun and talking about horror movies and comics and sometimes wrestling, but, you know, whatever.
And as a parting thought for you, I want to share one more raw thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had me busting a gut when I read it earlier today, because I was obviously very proud of some of the language I used in this little piece of work. Because some of it was highlighted and, like, circled because I was like, this is an amazing sentence. But here we go. 3 years. 3 years I have been here. Well, not just here in this tiny room, but in this hospital. I'm better now. Those years weren't wasted, but those are 3 years that I've lost from my life, healing from wounds I didn't even know I had. When I came here, I was a broken woman. Like a mirror shattered into a million distorted reflections. I couldn't figure out how to spell either of that, so that's what you get. my husband had been murdered. Murdered by a woman named Judy. She did it for revenge. And I can't help but to hear this whole page read exactly that way because it's so melodramatic and such total garbage. And you know what? If I can write that, you can do better. So
exactly. Like, that's the thing, is that we all can always do better. And even the best writers in the world, I'm sure Neil Gaiman or Stephen King or whoever sits around and sometimes writes complete dribble and looks at it and goes, I'm not letting anybody see this ever.
Ever.
But they do it anyway.
Yeah, because you have to get past it.
You have to constantly write ideas and things, whatever is in your brain, whenever it pops in there, no matter what it is, you just got to write. Even if it's not in the same genre that you typically write, just write it down anyway, because you never know when a slice of what you wrote might end up working its way into a better story.
That's right. So question of the week is going to be a little bit less random. It is, what are your habits to keep yourself writing? I genuinely want to know, because I need to like copy someone else's habits, quite frankly.
Yeah. What are your habits? What are your writing habits?
Yeah. Let us know. And you can do that at Ninth Story Podcast on Twitter, or you can use more characters over on Facebook, facebook.com/group/Ninth Story Podcast. If you're not a part of it, just ask, we'll let you in.
You can say banana. That's the password.
I think banana has become the password for this podcast. It's just, there's been so many golden banana stickers and, you know, people hiding them in warehouses because there's just too many, and it's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Ooh, and next week we are interviewing Helen Grant, who is an amazing young adult horror fiction writer, and we're very excited. And we are both currently reading the same copy of Silent Saturday.
Rereading.
There you go. You're rereading. I'm reading for the first time. I'm not going to lie. But I am enjoying the hell out of it. I have so many questions already. I cannot wait to talk to her.
And it's part of a trilogy.
There's more of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know what I'm going to be reading. It's really good. Well written, well paced. We'll get into that some more next week. Until next time, keep writing and being creative, my friends.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Doing it, and by it we mean writing, because that's what we're about, or storytelling on the Ninth Story. Eventually I'll come up with an actual theme song.
Bye, guys.
That doesn't suck. Okay, bye. If you like it, then you should have put it down in the notebook. If you like it, then you should have put it down in the notebook. Get a pen and write it down. I don't know.
All the writing ladies. Okay. All the writing ladies, put your pen up.
I just think you got whiter than you've ever been before.
Yeah. Come on, join in.
If you like it, then you should have put a pen on it. If you like it, then you should have put a pen on it. If you like it, then you should have written it down, you fuck. I just got angry.
Up in the club, I got my pen. It broke all over my shirt and it's leaking ink.
I do not like this outro at all. We need to pick a different song.
If you want to write a thing, put a thing on it. If you don't know how to write, then go learn it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dat, 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 dat.
Just fade out on that. Like, no one needs to listen to that whole thing ever.
That's why it's after the commercials.
Oh, thank God. It's like, that's why you listened.
You're welcome.
God, I'm so sorry.
I'm putting it in there. It's happening.